Hi there, and welcome to the Hello Personality Podcast, where we use self-discovery tools such as personality typology and core gifts to help you come home to who you really are, so that you can live each day focusing your time and energy on what matters most. I'm Leslie McDaniel, and this is Season 6, Episode 2. We're digging into core gifts this season, and if you missed the short introduction episode describing what a core gift is, I encourage you to check that out in Episode 1 of this season. A short definition, though, of your core gift is that it's your unique purpose and contribution in all areas of your life. Now, there's no test or assessment to find out what your core gift is, or that identifies your gift from a list or a category, but your core gift emerges through the discovery process that's done with a facilitator, such as me. And something else important to know is that your core gift is completely unique to you. It comes from your words. And with knowledge of your core gift, you're equipped to only say yes to the things that matter most. Now, if you find that you're saying yes to one too many things, whether it's people, experiences, courses, opportunities, or things, your core gift can guide you to say yes to the things that will have the greatest impact. In this episode, I'm welcoming Bruce Anderson. Bruce is the executive director of the Core Gift Institute. His primary work is helping individuals and organizations use the power of gifts in their daily lives. The Institute offers 9 different learning events related to specific practices to discover and use gifts. Takes small groups on gift-reflective pilgrimages in Europe, offers one-to-one private coaching, and trains and certifies folks from all walks of life who want to use the facilitated core gift discovery process in their work as coaches, educators, community organizers, therapists, and organizational development consultants. He lives on a small plot of land on Vashon Island, Washington, where he tends to his gardens, chickens, and family. So Bruce is passionate about this work, and I'm always inspired in conversations with him. So I wanted to invite him as our first guest this season to talk about the origins of core gifts, the impact that he's seen that core gift discovery can have on people over the years, and to talk about his own core gift. Bruce is going to talk about the connection between your core gift and wounding, and also about how your core gift can actually be used in some negative ways or some not so helpful ways. We cover quite a bit of ground in this. I think you're going to love this conversation. So let's go ahead and dive in with Bruce. Hey, Bruce, welcome to the Hello Personality Podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm glad to be here. It's a great day when we can talk about gifts.
Exactly. So I really want to start with, like, what was the origin of core gifts for you? Where did this all begin?
Well, we were working with 3 organizations in California, my wife and I, who were trying to experiment and try and connect with people who had at that time what was called a serious and persistent mental illness. Most were doing substances of some kind, and people were living on the street. And the usual methods of connecting and working with those kinds of folks, the usual mental health system-y stuff, wasn't working very well. And it never worked very well. And so we decided that we had to figure out some new methods. And about that time, I ran into a guy who actually is a neighbor of mine, Michael Mead on Vashon, who was working with 4 or 5 other men who would gather groups of young guys at some remote, usually remote church camp and spend a week with them doing rituals and conversations and telling stories. And it was really deep work. And it had embedded in that work this idea of gifts and life purpose. And it seemed to be a powerful way for young guys to reorient themselves towards a different way of living. And so we took that idea of gifts back to these 3 organizations in California and began to try and flesh out a process, a conversational process where somebody could, you know, in an hour or two, look you in the eye and say, this is the purpose of my life. This is where I'm headed. And oftentimes that connected at a much deeper level than the usual ways people were trying to connect.
Yeah, I love that. So it sounds like this description is kind of very others focused. Like you recognize for other people, right, that this is a powerful thing to have an understanding of their life purpose. Was that something that you had already felt confident about, or was that something you're like, hey, yeah, I really kind of need to know my purpose as well?
Well, part of the evolution of the process was it really started out as a tool to use with people who had asked for help. And it wasn't very long before those of us involved in the design of this thing started saying, you know, what about me? Working with them, what about me? And so it very quickly became a utilitarian process that could be used with anybody that was at some kind of a fork in their road in their life. It quit being a mental health tool really quickly, and it's since spread into the world of community development. Neighborhoods often do core gift interviews with other neighbors, and they figure out how they want to improve their neighborhood based on their core gifts. It's used in a lot of faith congregations. And recently, in the last couple of years, has started to move really big into this emerging world of life coaching. So it's really an expansively used, and last time I counted 13 different countries.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So you said that some of you who were doing this work sat around and thought, wait a second, what about me? So was this when you guys went through this process yourself to discover your own core gift? Was that revelatory for you, or was that something you already had in your mind of like, yeah, I kind of already have an understanding of my own gift? Does that make sense?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why I was so attracted to it initially, is that it was a total shock to me when I did the process mm-hmm. for myself. And it was a shock because at one level I knew it somewhere in my bones, but I had never put it together on the surface. I could look back and see, oh, I see why I did that when I was 12. And oh, yeah. You know, if you would have paid attention to that core gift in this thing you were in when you were 25, you would not have done what you decided to do at that time. So I could see my story from a balcony view, and it got really useful to me. And I don't do anything anymore. I mean, literally, I don't do anything. Without thinking about my core gift and whether I'm using the positive attribute of it or the shadows of it, you know. So it's, and most people I know who are really invested in this idea of interviewing other people, it's caused major shifts in their own life too.
Yeah. So what changed for you when you discovered your own gift, which, by the way, what is your gift? I'd love for us to talk about that too.
Yeah, sure. So my core gift is helping people use their imagination to find new hope. And that includes then helping myself use my imagination to find new hope. I give it by helping people get a real curiosity about what's around the next corner. Remember that the truth is often in the underbelly of what's not being said. Remember that the emotional truth is always worth it, and help people slog through the muck of change to get to the thresholds where love gets revealed.
It's beautiful. Yeah. So when you discovered your gift, what I heard you say, and correct me if this is wrong, but you were able to kind of look back and make connections with that gift to parts of your life. So it's almost like it was revealing, but it was also not a huge surprise. Is that true for you?
It was revealing, and it was a surprise because I didn't realize that it was totally driving my life. And that's the usefulness of it, I think. When you know your core gift, then you're conscious of when you're giving it and not giving it, and particularly conscious because your core gift, it's this primary driving force in your life. And so If I'm angry with you, Leslie, I'm going to use this core gift in a negative way with you to get control over you, to punish you, to make you feel bad. However I can do it, I'm going to use it as a weapon. And when I'm coming out of a wholehearted best part of who I am, I'm going to bring the loving part of that gift. And so the most useful part for me has been both of those. You know, I have a gift for imagination. I can brainstorm. I can come up with ideas all day long. And if I want to be in a relationship with you where I can dominate in some way, I'll try and make your ideas wrong.
Yeah.
And I did that a lot my whole life. I never even had any idea I was doing it.
Yeah.
And when I'm coming up with the best part of who I am, what I want more than anything is for you to bring this brilliance, this imagination you have to the surface so both of us can tap it and use it.
Yeah.
So this idea of gifts and wounds can't be separated. It can't be separated. You don't get one without the other.
Yeah.
I was in a Methodist church where gifts fell out of the sky and there were these beautiful things that God gives you. No one ever told me there was a shadow side to it. No one ever told me, you know, it was going to drive my entire life. So it was, all of that was a huge revelation and has really, you know, shaped the last, I'm 72. It's shaped the last, you know, 40 years of my life. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's with, you know, when I work with personality type, that's a lot of what we talk about is these unconscious patterns that are driving you automatically. And it's like, it is the water in which you swim, but it's so often something you can't see. And it reminds me, in our training, you shared with us that the gifts aren't actually deep. They're just right there on the surface all the time being you. So I love that this process brings awareness and consciousness to this part that you said that's driving you all the time, whether it's for quote good or bad, or in negative ways, I suppose.
Well, there's one thing about that, Lessa. I think it's really important, this idea of this culture we live in, you know, coaches and therapists and change agents of all kinds. We live in a depth culture. This whatever needs to change in you is deep. And if it gets really messy, then it's good to have someone to help you figure it out. But it's depth oriented. And the idea of gifts has always been surface oriented. That the most useful and wonderful parts of who you are have to be on the surface and available to other people. And in older cultures, gifts were oftentimes part of puberty rites. You know, the kid was 11 or 12 or 13 years old, so they couldn't have been very good at their gift, and it had to be really obvious. And so one of the things I love about it is you don't have to peel back the onion. It's on the surface. And I think that also creates some suspicion around the core gift discovery tool itself. Because when people, I mean, it does sound odd to say, you know, give me an hour and a half, Leslie, and you're going to tell me the purpose of your life. And it's been something you've been thinking about for 30 years. So how in the hell can a process know what that is in an hour and a half? So I think because we're from depth cultures, we're suspicious of anything that seems to be so obvious and available.
Yeah. And how do you see people responding to that when they, at least in your life and in the years that you've been working with this, when they see something that is so, quote, on the surface?
I think there's that frequently people have the same response that I did. Oh, I sort of knew that, but I never put words to it. And I certainly haven't used it for decision making. It's been more like a strength of mine, but I never thought it was really a driving force. I am amazed at the number of people at the end of this. You know, the process, one of the last steps is there's four or five things left in this pile, and the person says, that's the one, that's the core gift out of what's left. And people always have some kind of physiological reaction. Yeah. People will get a tear in their eye. People will start talking faster. People will start to feel a little anxious because you're sitting in front of someone and you've just told them the reason you're in the world. And very few people get that opportunity. And very few people have had that experience of saying that to another person and having it witnessed. Yeah. That's really the thing. People ask me all the time, well, there's 19 questions and 5 steps. Can I just get the pack and I go home on Saturday morning and do it with myself and the kitchen table with a cup of coffee? And I always say, don't, because the most famous saying that I'm aware of about gifts is that a gift is not a gift unless it's given.
Yeah.
And the gift, in some cultures, the gift actually comes into existence at the point of the giving. And so this idea that we would be doing it and you would witness me saying what it is one of the most fundamental features of it. We don't, our gifts are not meant to be done or acknowledged, discovered, or known in isolation. They're, you know, it's always been the most powerful community building tool there is.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think, as you were talking about, the point of the gift is to give it away. It's not a gift unless you give it away. And the power that it has within a community when not just one person knows their gift, but everyone knows their gift and everyone knows each other's gift. Can you speak a little bit about that? Like, what have you seen in real life when you've had communities, whether it's a work organization or some of these communities you worked with in the early years? Like, what's the impact? How does the group change when gifts are introduced?
Well, groups change because in a couple different ways. I can just make this really practical. There's a group I know in Canada, Ontario. There's a dozen people in a team, highly skilled people, and each one of them knows their core gift. And in the room where they meet, they have their team meetings, each of those 12 people has their core gift on the wall around the room. It never leaves. It's there. So when they have a team meeting and they've got a presenting issue, whether it's with somebody they're working with or something happening inter-team, they look on the wall and they say, whose gift should be guiding this conversation? And that's who leads that part of the meeting. Yeah. So it redefines the idea of authority in meetings. It redefines the idea of who's holding the facilitative responsibility, and the group begins to act like a real community. You know, it's an interesting thing that person, the group says, well, that's close to your gift. You should lead this. There may actually be a person in the group who could facilitate the conversation more skillfully, but the group intentionally chooses the person closest to the gift for two reasons. Number one, when you're giving your gift, you feel deeply seen. And so by me pointing at that person and saying, you lead this conversation, they immediately, their psyche says, somebody is really seeing me here on more than a level. So there's an honoring. And when you think in a meeting, that's going on the whole meeting, all these different people are feeling deeply seen and honoring. And if you're guiding these conversations, you may not be that good at giving your gift yet, but you keep getting better at it the more you get called into action around it. So it really redefines how authority works. I like to say it defines the difference between positional authority, which is the boss or the leader, and genuine authority, which is the capacity that every human is bringing to a group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's say there's someone out there who's like, you know, I want to find my gift, but they're not really involved in a team. They still have that power of being witnessed in the process that we do with them. How do they get better at giving their gift? If no one else really knows about their core gift, no one else knows their own core gift.
Well, no one else has to know their core gift, but they have
to
know
it.
So that's how you get better at it. Is by knowing it. And I mean, I just think my age, how much better I would have been at my gift if I would have known it when I was 25 and could have really been focusing at it. I mean, I have this whole story about, you know, it's around imagination and hope. I was the kid in our family. Everybody wanted to go to the traditional, you know, burger joint. It was a blue collar family. It was a big deal for us to go out and get burgers. I always wanted to go to the Chinese restaurant, which was clear on the other side of town. And my family, you know, no, we're going to the burger joint. I always wanted to do the different thing. My whole life was about doing the different thing. We'd get an assignment in school to write a paper a certain way. I never submitted it the way the instructions were and frequently got a bad grade. I just could never do it the way everyone else was. And so I felt in a lot of ways, I felt punished for that uniqueness rather than honored for it, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a useful thing to remember, that when we know people's core gifts, we can honor them, even if they're giving them poorly. that seeing someone for who they really are is the main point always, always.
Yeah, you had mentioned that gifts and wounds are always connected. Is that kind of what you're talking about there? Like if you had no, like these, your gift wasn't honored or appreciated or seen or understood in these time periods and as a kid. And that's kind of where the your motivation for giving this gift to others comes from.
Right. So the way that we think about it is people, you know, Leslie, you have a lot of gifts, but there's one gift that stands out and is more of a driving force than all your other gifts. And that gift, one reason why it's more of a driving force than your other gifts, is that gift is connected to some challenge you've had in your life. And so that means that for me, with this, with a gift of imagination, anytime you invited me to be in a podcast, you must have some appreciation for my imagination. You see that in some way. So me being in this half an hour with you helps me to heal from other earlier times in my life when people didn't respect my imagination and punished me for it. And so every time I get a chance to give my gift, I heal from that old story in my life.
Yeah.
And so the more you give the gift, the more you heal. It is not rocket science. It's a very simple equation. And that's what separates your core gift from all your other gifts, is it comes from this significant challenge you've had in your life.
Yeah. And do you feel like that would have been different had you known what your gift was back then?
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, so like these times when you were punished for your imagination or for wanting to be different or unique and doing things your own way, if you had known, like, oh, it's actually my gift to have this imagination, to see things differently, would that have changed things for you?
Oh, yeah. Would it change things enormously, but... but the... I would not have had that wound, so I would not have had this beautiful gift that I have. So looking back, it's not like, you know, I love that part of my story. I mean, I love myself and I love the other people in that story, but it's not like I wish I could go do that again. But at the same time, it produced the rough material for this gift. And it's important to understand that with your core gift, the motivation to keep giving it comes from the wound. And that's what makes you keep doing it, even when it's tough. Otherwise, you just give up. I have a lot of other gifts and a lot of passions, but if it gets too hard and I see something else I want to do more, I just quit and go do another thing. But when I'm giving my core gift and it gets hard, I dig in and I try and figure out what can I learn about it this time that's going to make it stronger. So there's a perseverance with your core gift that's not present with your other gifts.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think too, what I'm hearing you say is the wound produces the motivation to continue to give that gift, to continue to get better at it, to share it with others. Mm-hmm. Does that sound true for you?
Yeah. I think it's definitely true in the people that I've coached along the way. Can really speak clearly to the wound being gradually healed the more they give their gift. The story never goes away. No story ever goes away. But its impact in your life lessens the more you give the opposing force to that in a loving way in the world. It doesn't control much.
Yeah. Yeah. So you talked a little bit earlier about maybe you wouldn't have made some of the decisions had you made, or you may not have contributed, or you may not have participated in some of the things you participated in had you known your gift. So how does that guide you today? How does your gift guide your decision-making, what you choose to put your energy and efforts towards?
Oh boy, it's just, I mean, if I just think about the last couple of weeks, you know, I got a phone call to get involved in a project in another part of the United States. And it was lucrative in terms of money, and it would have been longer term. And it was somewhat interesting to me, but then I realized that the more I listened to them, they were trying to replicate another program that already existed. And what they wanted my help with was replication, really. And I thought, boy, that's just not something I can do anymore. I'm not really interested. It's not that that's a bad thing to do. It's just, that's not my gift.
Yeah.
Right. And so I just can't be involved in that. And you know, when I was 35 and, you know, a young dad and an eager beaver and was getting on a plane every week and flying somewhere, I would have said yes to that for sure.
Right. Yeah.
So, the other thing that's really interesting, Leslie, when you get into this is you can really, there's a lot of laughter involved in it because whatever your gift is, it's how you get stuck most often in your life. So like with this gift of imagination, it's amazing to me how often I go out to my shop to fix something and I'll try and fix it the way I was just working on a rototiller last week and I know how to rebuild the carburetor and I did it like I've always done it and it wouldn't work. And I just kept doing it the same way over and over. It never occurred to me to step back and say, you know, Bruce, what's another way you could work on that carburetor? Never even occurred to me until 4 or 5 times working on that damn carburetor. So we tend to get stuck it's that old saying, we're really good at helping people do what we struggle with in our own life, which is a lot of the power of the gift for me. If I'm coaching you, Leslie, and I'm trying to encourage your creativity, I learn something in every hour I spend coaching with you that I can take back to my own process of creativity. So another big idea about gifts is gifts are always reciprocal. There's a reciprocity in gift giving, because if it's my gift and I'm helping you do that very thing, I'm learning too. So it takes the hero out of helping another person. Mm-hmm. I can help you because I got my life together and you don't. I assume in every conversation when gifts are involved, I'm going to learn as much from the other person as any contribution I'm making to help them figure out their own path. Yeah. So there's a real humility in that. The expert thing goes out the window.
Yeah.
You know, 12 different coaching recipes I have go out the window. They're useful tools, but it's not the fundamental thing that's happening. There's an exchange. When gifts are involved, it's an exchange of love between two people.
Yeah.
And so it gets down to the most fundamental ground we're all standing on.
I love that. It sounds like a theme of what you're saying. A lot of what you're saying is this equality among people, bringing people together on the same plane, like not having the authority figure, not having one person be the hero, those types of things. Does that resonate with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It's, you're tapping into really what, for me, one of the truisms of gifts is that there is no gift that's better than another gift. We tend to gauge the success of people based on their accomplishments in their life. And gifts says that every gift is needed for a community to be whole. Like I have a son and a daughter, and I'm married to Gina. And my idea, since we know our core gifts, is when one of us isn't in the room, something huge is missing. I really want to have conversations about our family when all four of us are there so we can contribute from our own gifted perspective. And so in community, if somebody's gifts aren't there, the community's not whole literally. So when we start, separating people by ethnicity or by religion or by old, by any kind of separation in a community, means that it's automatically a broken community. It doesn't matter how much they're accomplishing, how much those people are getting done, it's broken.
Yeah.
And when we get to the place where we see everyone for their gifts and all the goodness and all the trouble that brings, that's how genuine community is really formed.
Yeah. It also speaks to the value and appreciation for each individual's contribution, each individual person's worth and that their life has value and that they are part of this bigger whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a real need. I joke a lot. It's just so foundational in relationships, Leslie. You know, without going into a lot of detail, I can share. My wife's gift is a spiritual component to it. You know, and mine's about imagination. We would both get attached to our gifts. And the truth is, I have a real yearning for a spiritual life. And she's one of the most creative people I know. But when you get stuck in your giftedness, all of a sudden, you know, it's the shadow. You don't see outside of it. And it's just, it's so clear in my marriage how much I need that gift from her. I mean, it's like, it's essential for my thriving.
Yeah.
Because it's not my gift, right? So I think that plays out in relationships, in workplaces, in whole communities, that just that idea that the gift is really everything that we're going for.
Yeah.
I want to say one other thing. So I don't forget. I want to make a distinction. I think it's a really important distinction since we're talking about authority and how authority works and gift authority. The other tools available for self-identification, you know, there's 8 or 10 kind of dominant tools, and they all have the same kind of formulation. You answer some questions, and then that data that you've given through those answers gets put into, you know, some kind of an algorithm, and it spits back, well, this is who you are, Bruce, because of these answers you've given. There's a really important thing that happens in that process. I've been in control of my answers, but whoever owns that tool is in charge of telling me who I am. And so for any human, but particularly for people who have been repeatedly told they're less than or marginalized in any way, tools that spit back who you are and rob you of the chance to define your own identity can be really destructive to people who feel less than.
Absolutely.
And one of the things about the core gift process is every step, you know this, you're in charge of the answers, you're in charge of what happens to the information, and you're in charge of saying what your gift is at the end. So in every step of the process, you control the process.
Yeah.
And so I think in terms of empowerment, core gift discovery is a really important thing. And it fits with a lot of indigenous tradition, initiation, which a single person would go out, you know, in some kind of a quest. There's all different kinds of patterns and rituals, but it was basically an alone process where they went out and they were usually supposed to be in some kind of a conversation with how that culture defined deity and spirit, the great mysteries. And the person would have an idea, a revelation about who they were. The power was always inside the person for that determination. And so I think where core gift process is sticking by that belief that people need to be able to self-identify.
Yeah.
We've got enough people telling us who we are in the world.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And I really want, I'm not, you know, I can hear it now. I'm not bad-mouthing all those tools. I'm really not. I'm just saying they have a different, they're built in a different way than the core gift process is built.
Yeah. I think what I love about the core gift process, as you said, it does put the power completely in the person's hand. There's no categories, whereas the 16 types and the Enneagram, which I do use with people, it comes to a point, right? That point being the label, the name of the type. But I like to help people use that as a tool for observation of themselves to see how they are uniquely showing up within that type. It's all from the same perspective of like you were saying earlier, there's this unconscious part, right? And you're not really seeing how it's playing out. So by naming it, you're able to see something and to be a little more intentional and conscious about your life and how you are what you're making decisions to do and how you're using your time and energy and where you're putting your efforts. That's kind of the whole point for me for all of these tools, understanding your purpose, being more, having more meaning in your life. And I do, I do love the core gift process being totally unique and totally in the person's hand themselves.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I did want to just talk a little bit about ways that you support your gift, and then, you know, ways people can support their gift growing and thriving and expanding, and ways that actually cause their gift to constrict or to not be as developed as it could be.
Well, I think the first, you know, there's a bunch of things. None of them is, you know, none of them is the is the best way. There's just a lot of different possibilities. So the first thing I think is, you know, knowing your core gift and really sitting down and thinking what places in your life where that gift thrives and what places are starving that gift. And what you can do to either change those situations where it's being starved or getting out of them. And it's amazing how you can, I've helped so many people in jobs. You know, they don't like their job, but once they know their core gift, they can see how they can give their core gift at their job, and all of a sudden they love their job. This thriving and starving and really analyzing all different parts of your life, your hobbies, your relationships, your work, your whatever it is you're involved in. So I think that's the first thing, is just becoming more cognizant of that. And then making time to grow that particular thing. There's a practice around it. If you have a gift for, you know, for structure and order of things, or my gift around imagination, if you have a gift for peacemaking, really making time to learn and read and be around people who are into that, because it's likely they have a similar gift you do. And there's nothing more powerful than a gift-to-gift conversation. It's almost like the people aren't even there. There's something happening in the energy between the two gifts. They're in there. It's its own conversation. I've seen, you know, I watched a conversation once between a 16-year-old football guy and a, you know, 75-year-old high school librarian or 70-year-old high school librarian. You would never guess in a million years they had anything, you know, similar about their lives or what they were interested in, except they were just locked into a conversation. It was phenomenal to watch. So I think the continual learning is really important, and to see it as a practice, like you have a spiritual practice, you have a relational, many relational practices, to really make time, because in the busyness it's hard just to think, oh, I'll learn about that a little more when I have time. And gifts don't like to be starved out. They tend to cause trouble in your life if you don't pay some attention to them. They do. So I think those two things are really important. And the last thing I'd say is really honoring the story that caused that core gift to get broken open and begin to be used in the world. I'd say honoring, I just really mean seeing it for the fullness of the difficulty, seeing it for the fullness of the opportunity that it created, but not trying to forget that story, but seeing it as the, as that oppositional thing of something that had a lot of pain in it and something that had an incredible amount of beautiful possibility in it.
I love that. Thank you for sharing those words. Anything else that you feel is important to say that maybe we haven't already covered?
Just one last thing. I think we're in a world's in a lot of trouble right now, and we're in a world that is where movements have been separated. There's been, you know, just social justice movements of all kinds, food security movements, ecology movements, and I think we're, I think what's happening in the world is those movements are starting to come together around the central idea of what does it mean to thrive. And I just see the movements merging. And I would just say that this idea of gifts is part of the natural way that humans thrive, and it's essential. And the more we get away from using words like strengths, which is stuff you can do, and start thinking about gifts, which is a much more serious interpretation of who you are as a person and what you have to bring to the world, I think we can start to think about gifts as part of our thriving, and that it's part of the affinity that people have to heal. You know, a plant, when it grows towards the light, if you try and shade it, it'll grow crooked to go towards the light. And I think that humans have that same desire for healing and going towards the light. And gifts are one way that we can, I think, really honor our story and our intention about going towards the light.
Yeah, I love it. I'm in so much agreement with you. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for not only just this conversation, but for doing the work to honor your own gift in your life and bringing this to other people through the trainings that you provide, you know, myself included, and spreading this through through the world and being committed to this work. We really appreciate it. And I think it's such a beautiful process, and it's meant a lot in my own life. So thank you.
Yeah, it's just great. I'm just glad to have met you, Leslie. Glad to have met
you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the conversation today. I really appreciate it. See you later.
You're welcome. Take care. All right. So that was such a beautiful conversation. Some of the things that Bruce talked about, such as core gifts bringing an equality among people and putting everyone on the same plane, so to speak, and helping people to understand that there's no one core gift that's better than anyone else and that we all have a core gift. I love those ideas, and it resonates deeply with me from the perspective of everyone has something to contribute. Everyone has something worthwhile. Everyone has value to bring. And every single person has something that they can contribute to others. And if you think about a community or a group, that the group or the community is not whole if one person is missing. I love those perspectives. And I also really love the understanding that once you know your core gift, it can really help you hone in your decision-making process. And just like Bruce described in the interview, he had a recent opportunity that he turned down because it wasn't in alignment with his core gift. So I think that can really, really help you to become more purposeful, more intentional, and to create a life that is more meaningful, because you know that when you're acting from your core gift, you're acting from a place of the greatest purpose and potential and impact. So if you want to zero in on your unique core gift to discover your unique purpose and the most impactful contribution you make to the world, let's work together with the Core Gift Discovery Package. Just go to hellopersonality.com/core gift to learn more and sign up. I cannot wait to go through this process with you. And as a side note, if you're interested in learning about how to be a facilitator for this process, maybe you're a coach or you work in an organization, you can go to coregift.org. That's the website of the Core Gift Institute. And I'm forever thankful for the person who introduced me to this. So if that's something you're interested in, becoming a facilitator, learning this process, I really encourage you to go there. So coming up in the next episode, we have Nima, who is an Indigenous speech language pathologist who has worked extensively with marginalized communities and who uses a holistic approach to promote healing and to cultivate resilience and self-worth. There's so much more to share about Nima, but I'll save that for episode 3. That's coming up next. I'll see you then. Take care.